You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello and welcome to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin, episode 41, everybody. As of the recording of this, it is April 3rd. 2019. I hope everybody's doing all right. Hope you're having a good week. About, you know, midweek. I'm about to start my work week, which is Thursday through Sunday. So I've had a good time off. I hope you're doing all right. Staying sober, sober people. One day at a time and all that cliche bullshit that happens to be true. Just a FYI, if you'll notice the picture for this episode is me flipping off the cat. Now, giving the finger to an animal is hilarious, but the reason that that happened was because she would not leave me alone earlier, and it was like a panicky meow. Like some shit was going down. And I'm just like, what? And I finally, like, I was doing shit, right? And I finally just went, you know, what? And so she took that as we're playing. Or, you know, panicky, run away like I'm going to do something. You know, after, you know, 10 years of her life, suddenly John gets violent. But, you know, she runs away. And I'm like, okay. I guess nothing. And then, you know, I went out and looked and she went somewhere. And then I turned around about 5 minutes later and that's where she was. Just laying on the bed. Nah, it wasn't anything. She just wanted any kind of attention whatsoever. And I guess me yelling, what, was enough. That was like, yay, he recognized me. I made him do a thing. Like, I think she's just fucking with me. I think it's just things. I think it's just like, I'm gonna make him lose his temper. Watch this. Like, to no one. Like, to her imaginary friends. Or like, I'm gonna get this guy. Hey. Just, I don't know. I have no idea why. So I've started to do, because I do about 75 push-ups about 3 times a week, and you know, and I do other little exercises, but because of my ego and because it sounded like a good idea, I had heard, I don't know, a video clip I saw, somebody was some celebrity was talking about how George Takei does 100 push-ups a day, and I went, what is that? And then I looked it up and that's what he says. And so I thought that that would be a good idea. So I'm going to start doing that, which, and that says a day. So you don't have to do it in one sitting, which is good. So I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing, which is, you know, I do like 3 sets of 25. So I'm going to do that and then just fit in another 25 somewhere in the day, just to technically say that I've done 100 push-ups a day. That just sounds good. And what really irritated me about this, though, this is the internet, and this is, you know, the way human beings are now. Because no matter what somebody says, there's always going to be somebody underneath talking shit, somebody commenting, going, you know, because there was a video, I think, of him doing push-ups on Conan. And sure enough, there's somebody posting underneath going, you know, he didn't do any push-ups there, actually. Those aren't, like, real push-ups. And I don't know if they mean army push-ups. And here's the deal. Let's say you're right. Because you want to be right. That George Takei didn't do, you know, form-correct push-ups. That technical army-ass push-ups. Okay, he's 82. I guarantee you the asshole who posted that won't live to be 82. So he's going to die, and all his correct form push-ups aren't going to mean shit. George Takei is going to die one day, and it's not going to matter. Did he do, was his form, how is his, you know, his push-ups weren't really technical. He made it to his 80s. Now, it's not because of just the push-ups, obviously. It's, you know, genetics, it's diet, it's everything else. But that's the thing. It doesn't matter. It's still impressive. Also, the guy talking shit. I'd like to see that guy. Like, you just kind of wish at some point in the ether of things after you die, when you get, you know, all this knowledge or whatever, and you become one with the universe or whatever the fuck happens. But, you know, you get to find out the truth of everything. You won't, but let's say you did. I would love to just, you know, like if you could ask God one question, it would really be weird to just go, yeah, you know that asshole that talks shit about George Takei? Could he do bad form push-ups when he was old? No, he couldn't, could he? Thank you. See? Thank you, I said to no one. Yeah, I'd waste my one question with God. Yeah, I just wanted to know, you know that prick that talks shit? He was wrong, right? Yeah, I knew it. See? I knew that guy was full of shit. This is what matters to me. It's when assholes are wrong. That's really the only thing that matters. I don't know. This is what this episode is going to be, by the way. I think this is just going to be me just... I don't have... I'm looking at my notes for... What do you want to talk about today? And I'm like, this is going to be something. So, you know, heads up. So at work this past weekend, there was this moment. One of my coworkers, the prep cook, I've talked about him before. He was the guy that didn't get my references when I said Yaz Queen about the band Yaz. If you didn't hear that episode, then it doesn't matter. What you need to know is that he's learning English, and he's doing pretty well. But it's a matter of trying to figure out context. Like, you've got translation, but now it's interpreting context. So I'm putting up. I just washed some utensils, and I'm putting the utensils up, and a couple of them fall on the ground, which means I gotta take them back, and now I gotta wash them again. And I just cussed them out because I like to cuss out inanimate objects. It's what I do. Everybody knows this about me. I cuss out inanimate objects. I did that, and Ro kind of looks at me, and he goes, and he's trying to figure it out, and he goes, "Did you just say fuck you to a spatula?" And I went, yeah, I did. And then he just goes, ha, 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 and he just starts laughing. Like, he had to clarify. He goes, you weren't cussing me. Did you just say fuck you to that Yeah. Fucking started dying. So that was great. Once he clarified that I wasn't cussing him out, and I was, in fact, talking shit to a spatula, it was all good. And apparently very funny to him. That was great. So... My girlfriend competed in the Funniest Person in Austin contest, which is a comedy contest that takes up a month and a half of the comedy scene's lives here in Austin. And then we were hanging out with some comics afterwards, and my buddy Pat Dean was like, oh, there's something that reminded him of the story I've told before to him about... when I met Rodney Dangerfield. And he goes, oh, tell him the Rodney Dangerfield story. The guy we were talking to was 25 years old. And he looks at me and he goes, Jesus Christ, how long have you been doing comedy? And I'm like, ouch. Fair, though. It's very fair. But what happened was, and this was, I don't remember when this was. It's at least 19 years ago. So, yeah, I've been doing it a minute. So I was in LA for a few days. It's Los Angeles, not Louisiana. And one of the nights we were we performed and were hanging out at the Improv, and the buzz was that, and oh, the smoking ban had just hit Los Angeles. So it was great because they didn't have any kind of designated smoking areas yet. Nobody had figured out zoning or any kind of that bullshit. So everybody had to smoke outside. It didn't matter who you were. So, you know, that trip was great because I got to meet all these comics because they smoked, you know, everyone chain smoked. So it was like, hey, how you doing? And you're just meeting people, you know, just talking to some, oh, hello, Greg Proops, you know, and you're just smoking a cigarette next, you know, and you're just meeting people. But because of that, I, you know, they were like, the rumor was that Rodney Dangerfield was actually going to come down and do a set. And so everybody was sticking around. And sure enough, like a limo pulls up. It's a little bit later. A limo pulls up. And it's going to be Rodney, right? And it sure enough, it was. And he comes out and he's wearing, you know, T-shirt and shorts and flip-flops and a bathrobe, just like you picture him doing. And he's acting exactly like you remember, like you would think. He's just like, hey, how are you? Hey, how you doing? Hey, how you doing? Like that kind of just strutting, being Rodney, heading towards the door. And I see in my peripheral vision, there's this younger comic. I don't remember his name. Like I met him, but like whatever. And I see him kind of like edging forward. And I realize, oh no, he's going to go talk to him. He's going to try to talk to him instead of letting him go. Because we're all just like going, hey, everyone's like, hey. And he's like, hey, how you doing? Hey, hey. As he's walking, and this fucking idiot steps in his way, like in his path to say hi, right? And he goes and he just does that, and he does that thing where he goes, "Hi, Mr. Dangerfield. I just wanted to say that I'm just a big fan, and it's, you know, it's such a an honor to meet you," or something. And it's just awkward. You know, I mean, you know, the guy's being heartfelt, but it's just a kind of like, oh, God, dude. And he just kind of does. He says that, and like Ronnie stops and is like looking at him, and there's this pause, and it's just kind of like, ugh. And so he pauses for a second, and then Rodney goes, hey, whatever, and then just keeps walking. And I started laughing so fucking hard. And he, you know, and of course, comedians love making people laugh. So Rodney notices me immediately laughing. He's like, how you doing, kid? Shakes my hand and walks inside. And I kind of wanted to turn and go, that's how you do it. You know, you got to be subtle, you fucking idiot. And the thing is, you know, like now, if that guy's still around or whatever, you know, he tells his friends, yeah, I met Rodney Dangerfield one time and we got to hang out. And, you know, he's like, that story. He does not tell that story the way it went down. There's no way he does that. Oh, man. So what I wanted to bring up about the reason I mentioned the FPIA, the Funniest Person in Austin contest, which I've done 15 times. I've been doing comedy a while. It's a lot. It's too many. But if you aren't familiar with it, that's normal. The thing of what's interesting about it is it consumes the comics here. It consumes our lives for about a month and a half, makes things kind of tense. And it's very important to about 180 people in the world, all in this area, but about 180 people, it's very important. That's actually not even true. It's concerns 180 people. It's very important to about a dozen. It's not, it's so strange how things work that way. I mean, I'm bringing it up because it, you know, it's, you're competing against colleagues, friends, nemesis, and it doesn't really matter. It's good exposure if you're newer. It's, you know, it's participating in the scene. There's nothing. It's a contest, man. It's you know, it's, depends on the judges, depends on the night, depends on the sets, all that stuff. It doesn't really mean who's the best comic or anything like that. It's just, it's a, you know, it's a fucking contest. But what's strange about it is that even with, like, even if you know the game and you know that it doesn't really matter in the end, it's not, yeah, it's, you know, you do shitty, nobody's going to remember. If you do really good, nobody's really going to remember after a while. Like, it's just kind of a, it's, but even knowing that, the amount of anxiety that comes with this, with being in a contest is, it's crazy. It's crazy how it just, it'll stress you out. It'll make you just like freak out, overthink what you're doing. If you don't have any intention of doing well, like if you're doing it just to participate and get a video out of it that you can submit to festivals and whatever and promotion and all that, you know, you're just doing it just to participate. You're like, I don't need to, you know, I'm not trying to advance or anything. But then you don't advance, you're still kind of pissed off. Like you're like, ah, really? They went with that fucking guy? That guy humps a stool. Like, it's just that kind of a, you know. You know, that fucker uses props or whatever. And it's, or it's one of those things where you're like, I could have done better. Yeah, we all could have done better. It's just, it's weird how even with the information that you, I mean, even knowing like that, this is meaningless. This is just a thing to do. It's still the pressure that you put on yourself in a thing that means nothing to millions of people and only something to to under 200 people. Like it's crazy. I mean, it's I think that's, it's just the way things are in life about, you know, it's weird how it's things you make it important. You put that pressure on you. I think is where I was going with this, is that it's a nice reminder to me that, you know, this is all in your head. This is all up to you. You dictate the level of pressure and stress that things, you know, put upon you in life. Like it's, you're doing it. I mean, sure, there are things that can put you in a situation where, you know, that raises your stress level and stuff. But, you know, your reaction, you know, you ultimately, you are controlling how much something fucks with you. And that's, it's still mind blowing to me that, you know, I get so wrapped up in my routine and, you know, what being kind of a control freak, I like to, you know, I like routine because I feel that I'm in control by doing things that are familiar. And when really, you know, you're not in control of anything. You just, it's just life, man. You just got to go. But I don't know. The contest is a nice reminder to me. By the way, I'm not doing the contest this year because fuck it. I don't need that. You know, I've done it enough. But you know, watching people stress out, which reminds me of when I used to stress out and get really angry when I didn't do as well as I thought. Granted, a lot of it was because of booze, booze was a nice amplification of my desires. But, you know, it's a nice reminder to keep things in perspective that, you know, that ultimately it doesn't matter. You need to enjoy your moment. Enjoy the moments that you have, because it ultimately doesn't matter. When you're dead, nobody's going to give a shit. You certainly won't care what place you came in. But, yeah, just you just got to keep it in perspective. It's just a thing. It's not the end of the world if things don't go your way in your dumb little contest or your dumb little whatever in your poker tournament or, you know, pool tournament or whatever little thing that means a whole lot that day. But in the long, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. It's just, you know, it's just your life. You should just enjoy it for what you can, you know, as much as you can, at least. But that's really all I had today, this episode. I covered George Takei, Rodney Dangerfield, and a comedy contest. That's a lot, I think. And me saying fuck you to a spatula. It's been a good episode. That's four solid things, three solid things, and a comedy contest. That's a, you know. Sobriety's going well for me. I didn't mention that earlier, but yeah, I'm doing all right. I hope you're doing all right too. Keep it up, you guys. You have a good week. Be semi-nice to each other. This has been Yes, I'm Still Sober. I'm John Rabin. Later. Let's ride.